Let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds that you might grant us your power to forgive. In your name, amen. Once upon a time in their marriage, Bob did something stupid. Yeah, he did something really, really stupid. And his wife Susan chewed him out for it, and he apologized, and they made up. However, over the next couple of years, every time and time again, Susan would mention to him what he did in the past. "Honey," Bob said finally one day, "why do you keep bringing that up? I thought your policy was to forgive and forget." "Oh, it is," Susan said, "and I have forgiven and forgotten. But I want to make sure that you don't forget what I've forgiven and forgotten." Well, we all know we're supposed to forgive one another, turn the other cheek and everything. However, are we supposed to forgive everyone? And what do you do if forgiving someone is the hardest thing that you can do? Especially if it's someone who's close to you and someone who has hurt you badly. Well, I want us to take a look at the nature of forgiveness. Take a look why it can be so difficult for us to forgive certain people, but also to find out where that power of forgiveness comes from. Well, the text for this meditation this morning comes from the Gospel in the 19th verse. Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven." Keys to the kingdom. Well, that's a verse that is confusing for some people. Well, okay, it's been confusing to me at some times. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. What does Jesus mean by that phrase? Well, first of all, it goes back to a passage in Isaiah. Isaiah, the 22nd chapter, the 22nd verse. And it talks about a man, a servant by Elohim. And God has given him complete authority. And this is what the verse says. "I will give him complete authority under the king, the descendant of David. He will have the keys of office. What he opens, no one will shut. And what he shuts, no one will open." See, Elohim was given a great responsibility, a great authority. He was the keeper of the keys of the palace. And he was supposed to be a steward of that, responsible for opening it up and closing it down. Responsible for who has access, who can get to the king. Well, Peter, in his role as the gatekeeper, was also given a great responsibility and authority over sin and about the announcement for the forgiveness of sin. But Peter wasn't alone in that. After the resurrection in John 20, 22 to 23, Jesus tells all the disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven them. If you retain anyone's sins, they have been retained." In the context of the reading, Jesus is speaking about the power and the authority not to forgive sins, but to announce that their sins are forgiven. So our question for today is, do we have to forgive everyone? You know, we've all seen it in the news. Some murderer has done a horrendous crime, and a member of the family speaks in front of the news and they say that they have forgiven the person. And they forgive him and have no hatred towards him. How do they do that? Are they lying in front of the cameras? Are they lying to themselves? Are they simply numb to all of that pain? I don't know if I could do that if I was in the same situation. I don't know if I could offer that kind of forgiveness. So I wonder, what do they possess? What do they have? How is their faith stronger or maybe just different from ours? Now, I do need to say that there is a difference between forgiveness and justice. I think it is possible for us to forgive a person of their crime, offense against us, but at the same time want justice in the civil arena. We all live in a society where we have rules and laws. They're given for the safety of everyone. And those laws need to be enforced. They need to be adhered to. And therefore, for the safety, someone who has done something wrong, who has broken those laws, should have a measured punishment. So we can forgive a person for their offense against us, yet still demand justice. We can forgive, but still be an advocate that their actions are punished for the safety of the rest of the people. But why is forgiveness so difficult for us? And it's difficult for all of us, different situations, different people. See, sin means that there has been a brokenness. There's been a broken relationship between us and God, between us and that other person. And that brokenness means that something has gone wrong. Maybe we've done something wrong. Maybe they've done something wrong. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was unintentional. But there has been a split. And that brokenness, that split causes hurt. It causes us hurt and pain. It causes them. It causes God hurt and pain. And the only way to restore that, the only way to repair that brokenness is through the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an opportunity for us to learn. It is an opportunity to heal that brokenness. The parties are separated from one another. Hurt has divided us, and it will fester and it will be deepened without forgiveness. In the 1930s, the Chicago Herald Examiner reports a story that, well, I grant you, it is way over the top of an extreme example of this kind of brokenness. But it reports a story about a husband and wife who maintained a broken relationship for 7 years. The story is about Harvey Havens of Indiana. He went to bed, and he stayed in bed blindfolded for 7 years, all because he was upset with his wife. Well, the story was revealed that he was the kind of person, he liked to help around the house, do various different chores. But his wife always scolded him, always told him he was doing it wrong, always saying that he needed to do another way. And he just got tired of it. And eventually he said, "All right, if that's the way you feel, I'm going to bed. I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see anyone else ever again." That explains the blindfold. Well, 7 years later, he finally gets out of bed because, he says, the bed started to feel uncomfortable. The inability for him to forgive meant that he wasted 7 years of his life. Okay, that's an extreme example. I grant you that. However, it is an illustration of how a lack of forgiveness can cause a severely broken relationship, this case with his wife, but not only that, but with the rest of the outside world. The inability to forgive, and all of us have that. All of us have a situation, a person, either currently now or somewhere in the past, in which we have a difficulty in forgiving them. That needs to be our confession to God. That forgiveness that hurts us so much. Are we to forgive everyone? What about those people that are difficult to forgive? Well, to find the answers to those questions, we have to start from the very beginning. Because forgiveness begins and it ends with God. God acts to forgive. And it's a universal act. It has been paid for by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, that act of Christ on the cross is a currency, if you will. It pays the price of sin, pays the price for ours and for everyone. And that forgiveness begins with that single act, that universal act of Jesus. It is specific and it is final. Well, for you and I to forgive, we have to first realize that we are unable to forgive based on our own abilities within ourselves. It begins with what God has done for us first. our sins are forgiven by God so that we might have the power and the ability to forgive others. Now, one of the advantages that we have in living in this community of faith that we call Trinity is that within here and within our time of worship, there is that opportunity to strengthen one another, strengthen each other in our ability to forgive. When we begin our worship service, we face forward, not only to the cross, but also to the baptismal font. And then we look in the font and in the waters of the font, we are reminded that it is through baptism we have been washed and cleansed in God. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask that we might forgive our trespasses, our sins, so that we might forgive the sins of other people. When we state that need, we're stating that we are in need of forgiveness and we are in need of the ability to forgive others. When we come forward to receive the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are given the most tangible form and a way for us as sinful people to receive the forgiveness of God. Remember, the ability to forgive begins first with God's forgiveness for us. And the truth is told that we have a hard time forgiving some people. But forgiveness is a process. It's a growth beyond our weaknesses to the inability to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't come easy. But our prayer is that God would lead us, that God would teach us, that God would bring us to a place in which we forgive, and that we remember that first of all, God has forgiven us. In Jesus' name, Amen.